Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome back to Julian Tangents, everybody. It's Monday.
It is a Monday.
I'm Brian. That's Luke. I'm in Waukesha. He's in Madison. You're listening to us on Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios, 1580 AM WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM W. That's Double Radio. I'm in Waukesha at 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM. That's the Shaw. Yeah. You can check us out on the Double Radio app. Give us a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Hey, Luke, you ever worked out to the point where like a limb or like something doesn't work as well, or like do legs and then you're trying to walk the next day and it's like mush your muscles, that type of thing? You ever experienced like your muscle being used to the point of exhaustion?
Way to put me on blast. I haven't worked out in a little while, but yeah, I know what you're referencing.
I haven't worked out in a while either, but yes. You know what I'm saying. I'm not, please.
Hey, I played volleyball and softball last week, and I'm anticipating doing it again this week. But yes, I understand what you're talking about.
So during the opener, sometimes I like to, do eyebrow raises as like my dancing to the song. It just, Elastica lends itself to that.
Yeah.
I remember doing like when I was like, you know, you sit in the front of the mirror and do like, you know, try and train your face to make different faces and you use your eye. I did that for a while. I don't know if anybody else did, but I did so many eyebrow raises one time that I made my eyebrows not able to raise for the rest of the day. So like my eyebrow just kind of just drooped.
There we are, folks.
And I was thinking about that on the way in because it was really funny to me. I thought it was hilarious.
There you go.
So yeah, I just I'm picturing myself doing eyebrow exercises until they fall down, until they droop,
until they can't because do anything else.
Honestly, that kind of absurdism is needed now because. Yeah, latest headline. I guess
the headlines here in Wisconsin are a little dreary, Brian. You know, the weather
guess
over the weekend was interesting. It was kind of rainy throughout the week.
I did not find that interesting.
No, but the headlines are very similar because, you know, we hear more and more of these reports of extremist violence. And we hear these stories that seem to be, you get shocked more and more by them. But if you're paying attention, you already heard the update from the headline on Friday night. It broke right before the weekend, going into the weekend, Brian. But a Juneau County man, retired judge, was shot and killed. He was assassinated in his home by an individual that had a list. It's being referred to by law enforcement agents as a targeted act against the judiciary system. And the individual had more individuals on his hit list.
Yeah, including Governor Evers, Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, as well as Mitch McConnell.
Kentucky from Senator Mitch McConnell.
But I don't think he planned it out completely because he took his own life in the...
Well, I
seemingly.
Believe he's in critical condition still.
Or attempted to take his own life.
Yes. It seems to be, according to law enforcement reports, that is, he is in critical condition at a local hospital up in the New Lisbon area, about 90 miles northwest of Madison, about halfway between Madison and Eau Claire. It's where this incident took place on Friday last week. And so this individual is in critical condition after doing this targeted act. He fulfilled this targeted act, and the details are pretty grim, Brian. And it's a pretty shocking story. And I think you can't look at it as an isolated thing, though. We have more and more reports of this type of violence against systems like the judiciary. And some of the first takes I saw on Friday night was, well, it's a shame that we didn't take the threats against Governor Gretchen Whitmer's life more seriously last year. That a lot of these threats of violence made against politicians in both Michigan and Wisconsin and seemingly Kentucky as well, but the bomb threats that were made on January 6th, we're going to find more out about the political violence that was made at the Capitol on January 6th. We're going to be having hearings of those coming up later this week, Thursday night.
We'll be carrying those live here on this station.
Yes, but this you can tune in 7 p.m. on Thursday evening for the first of the January 6th Select Committee hearings. They're going to be broadcast live on Devil Radio and the Shaw. But the increased political violence is pretty staggering, Brian. And so let's get into a little bit of the details. But because you also found an interesting piece over at Politico, and
I did.
There's
a lot here, and I want to jump into it because we have a lot of things to get to. Again. This shooting goes under the same type of category that a lot of other things do. And a couple of researchers, 3 years ago, Jillian Peterson, and I'm reading this from a Politico piece, two professors found what creates a mass shooter and will politicians pay attention? Because we always talk about mental health, mental health, mental health, and this is evil and this is violent and things like that.
It's society's fault.
Well, that's the point, is that it is society's fault. Because if it is, then we at least acknowledge that this person is part of us. But if you say mental health, you get to other that person and make it seem like it was some defect or some evil that took over. And that's kind of where this is going here. 3 years ago, Jillian Peterson, an associate professor of criminology at Hamline University, and James Densley, a professor of criminal justice at Metro State University, went in. They compiled detailed life histories on 180 shooters. Again, like I said last week, one of the wonderful benefits of having so many shooters is we have a lot of research.
I wouldn't say wonderful benefits, but one of the outcomes of the current approach
I speak facetiously.
I know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek from you, but I think one of the outcomes of the way that our country and society here in the United States has decided to approach this issue from does tend to lead us with more information because we do have so many of these shootings, Brian.
Yeah. So here's some of their findings. Mass shooters study other mass shooters, they said. They often find a way of relating to them, like there are other people out there who feel like me. They say there's this really consistent pathway. I'm again going down into the piece. Early childhood trauma seems to be the foundation, whether violence in the home, sexual assault, parental suicides, extreme bullying. Then you see the build towards hopelessness, despair, isolation, self-loathing, oftentimes rejection from peers. That turns into a really identifiable crisis point where they're acting differently. Sometimes they have previous suicide attempts. What's different from traditional suicide is that the self-hate turns against a group. They start asking themselves, whose fault is this? Is it a racial group? Or women, or a religious group, or is it my classmates? The hate turns outward. There's this quest for fame and notoriety. And they said that I don't think most people realize, and this is huge, these are suicides in addition to homicides. Mm-hmm. Mass shooters design these to be their final acts. When you realize this, it completely flips the idea with someone with a gun on the scene is going to deter this. If anything, that's an incentive for these individuals. They are going in to be killed. It's hard to focus on the suicide because there are horrific homicides, obviously, but it's a critical piece because we know so much from the suicide prevention world that can translate here. And then it goes on, Politico asks, I've heard many references over the last few weeks to monsters and pure evil. You said this kind of language actually makes things worse. Why? And I've been saying this for a while now.
Yeah, this is something that you said when you try to dissociate the two, you dissociate the shooters from society, that it allows you to just be able to critique that rather than actually critiquing society, because if it's a monster, if it's somebody out, an exception to the rule of how society normally operates, then we can downplay it the way that we have in a lot of instances. Because one of the points that I've made in covering the shooting, since from Buffalo to Uvalde, to there was, I believe, an additional there was double digit mass shootings over the weekend.
That's just in the last couple weeks.
There were shootings in Philadelphia, Chattanooga, Phoenix, just this weekend alone. And so because there are so many of them, we go numb to the issue. We don't talk about it as much, and we find that despair. And when you do, a lot of that is because of that dissociation, Brian.
Yeah.
And so why is it important that we don't do that?
They go on to say, if we explain this problem as pure evil or other labels like terrorist attack or hate crime, we feel better because it makes it seem like we've found the motive and solved the puzzle, but we haven't solved anything. We've just explained the problem away. What this really problematic terminology does is prevent us from recognizing that mass shooters are us. This is hard for people to relate to because these individuals have done horrific, monstrous things. But 3 days earlier, that school shooter was somebody's son, grandson, neighbor, colleague, or classmate. We have to recognize them as troubled human being earlier if we want to intervene before they become the monster. And they go on to say the Buffalo shooter told his teacher that he was going to commit a murder-suicide after he graduated. People aren't used to thinking that this kind of thing could be real because the people who do mass shootings are evil, psychopathic monsters, and this is just a kid in my class, right? There's a disconnect. You have to understand why these people are here. And you've got to also remember that Uvalde only has one guidance counselor for all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're going to have a little bit more thrown their way. But most places don't have the equipment or the ability to even... You talk about mental health. Most places don't even have enough counselors. They're sharing counselors among the entire school district. Multiple schools for one guidance counselor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and the problem as well in some people's approach is the individual in Tulsa that shot up the hospital last week. He was a law-abiding citizen until he went and fired the gun in the hospital because nobody wants to talk about the fact that he was able to go and purchase that weapon and then go to the hospital and commit the act of violence that he committed because in a lot of people's scenario, he was law-abiding up until he started shooting at the hospital. It was totally within his rights to go and purchase that firearm and have no waiting period, no nothing, and then be able to take it and commit mass violence at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma last week. And so, yeah, we definitely need to change the way that we're talking about this conversation.
The important thing to remember is that if you narrow down to just one thing, you're losing the point. It's a multiple-level solution, and it's going to take a while to fix. And that's what people don't want to hear, but you're going to have to do something actually concrete to fight this issue.
Multiple things concrete. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.